Welcome to the Grace Force, everyone. This is the Grace Force podcast. I'm here with my buddy, Doug, and we are going to, first of all, we're going to look at a lot of what's going on in the world in terms of the demonic, and we'll pick that apart, but we better pray first if we're going to do that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it just popped into my mind, Doug. I got to say this before we say anything else.
Sure.
Cardinal Burke's coming to my parish.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. December 7th and 8th. And the thing that everybody should probably try to check out is we're going to have a pontifical high mass at the throne. Father Z's making all the arrangements for that right here in my parish, December 8th. And of course, with the TLM, they celebrate the Immaculate Conception. And it's going to be amazing. So if anybody wants to come, you're more than welcome. We're not a big church, but we'll handle the overflow. So, but you come and see Cardinal Burke. It's going to be awesome. Doug, you want to open us up with some thoughts? We've got just a lot of thanks, I think, to give to a lot of people, right?
Yeah, Father, since we started doing this show, this is episode, I think, 15, I believe, episode 15. I think 15, 16. We have just, I mean, the comments, I just can't say enough about what I've been hearing from people. I just flew back from California. To quote an old joke, boy, are my arms tired. I just flew back and boy, are my arms.
That is old.
It's very old and not a very good joke, but I was speaking at a men's conference in Modesto, California. A good friend, John Sablon and Jesse Romero, who we've had on the show.
Yeah.
And we're going to get John Sablon on the show in the future. Yeah. He's great, great Catholic speaker. And anyway, so two nights before the men's conference, we had this women's event as well and this was organized like, I don't know, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks before we got out there. It was kind of a last minute thing. Over 200 women came. Okay. Filled the church. Great feedback, great response. And then the men's conference, almost 200 guys were there. Great feedback, great response. And I tell you, one thing that I'm hearing from many is we love the podcast.
And I'm hearing that too, all over the place.
Yeah. I got to thank people though. It's just really, really great to hear. But one of the things that I'm really hearing, Father, that I'm really thankful for is people are saying that it's helping them. It's encouraging them. It's edifying them. It's giving them, you know,
getting strength. Them fired up.
Fire. That's it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, Doug, are feeling almost despair, you know, with what's going on. And we're talking about, you know, what can we do, you know, and it's making a difference, I think.
Yeah. And that is the big thing is that it's, you know, we can sit around and there are those out there who do, not criticizing anybody, but you can sit around and really just kind of complain and rant about the problems. And it's one thing to acknowledge them. Yeah. We need to do that. But we also have to put it in perspective that our battle is not against flesh and blood. So whether you're unhappy with what's going on out of Rome, with this priest, that cardinal, the Holy Father might be confusing us, whatever the situation may be, ultimately this battle, first and foremost, that first point of impact is against the enemy of our souls, and that's the devil and the demons. We've got to remember that, and that's what we're trying to do with this show, is really encourage people, you know, roll up the sleeves, gear up, and let's get in that fight where it hurts most. And that is the spiritual battle first. Now, it is true that if we lose the interior battle, we deal with it in the exterior. And we do have to confront those situations as well. I always say if some bad guy decides to cooperate with evil and try to mug someone in a parking lot, good guy's got to step in and try to defend and protect. All right. That's just a given. But the first point of contact is always the spiritual. And we want to always encourage that. Now, that being said, Father, I got to say, a couple of weeks ago, two episodes ago, I mentioned that we had started the Patreon program and, you know, as a way for people to support us, because we've had some people ask, you know, boy, you guys are doing great. How can we help? And there's been a tremendous response already. We've had, I think, 67 patrons already sign up to support us.
Yeah.
It's for some, it's just a few dollars a month and we get that. Widows might call it, but then, you know, some are giving a few dollars more, but in general, most of the patrons are just a few dollars here and there. But it is a tremendous assistance to us. It's a big help on so many levels. And I first just want to thank everybody out there who's already become a patron member. And if you're thinking about it, praying about it, it means a lot to us. And I want to encourage you to pray about it. You know, on behalf of Father, I will say to anybody listening or watching, we do not want anybody to support if you don't feel God is inspiring your heart in some way. We want it to be something that the grace of God is encouraging you to do. So please pray about it, consider it, and know that it does a tremendous amount of good for us to keep this stuff going. We have so many great shows planned. We got great guests coming on, a couple of name drops here. We got Father Donald Calloway coming in December. Right. We've got, again, we mentioned John Sablon's going to come on. We've got, we're going to bring back some of the old guests, you know, like Jesse and some of those guys. Sure. You know, Mother Miriam agreed to be back on again. And but we've also got a couple of big names. Deacon Harold Sivers has agreed to be on.
I can't wait for him. He's going to be awesome. Fire.
Yeah. And Father Chad.
You know, I got to tell you, his style is he's just in your face, you know. And I heard him once at a conference, and I saw him later, and I said, you know, after I heard you at the conference, I came back to my parish. I started yelling at everybody because that's the way he preaches. He's like, ah! He's but I got that in me too. I was like, yeah.
Oh yeah. And he's one of those ones that lets us all know that don't be timid when it comes to this.
Yeah.
But then also after the first of the year, everyone, you're going to love this. We have had an agreement now, Father Chad Ripperger. He's a famous exorcist, great priest. He's going to be on our podcast. So nice. Got some big names. Thanks be to God. We've been very honored to have many great guests already. And we got others coming, and we're honored for that. So please watch out for these guests and more to come. But please consider being a patron for us, joining the Patreon group. You can click the link below or just go out to our go on to patreon.com website and just type in US Grace Force, and it'll come up there, and you can join for that. But either way, I want to thank everybody. I know, Father, you do too, on the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah.
You people have been fantastic. Your prayers and your support
are
phenomenal. Yeah,
they're phenomenal. We need your prayers. Yeah.
So anyway, want to make that little plug and let people know we got great shows, great guests coming back and coming up in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Doug, I thought about doing this for a long time, the podcast, and I don't know, I dragged my feet or whatever it was, but I didn't know how it would turn out, and so far so good. You know, I'm liking this.
Oh yeah.
And I'm really enjoying pairing up with you too. This is great.
Oh yeah.
So Doug.
Yep. Here we go.
Big
show tonight.
Yeah. So, you and I talk, you know, when we're not on the podcast quite a bit, and we have amazing conversations that we should probably record. But anyways, we've been talking about, and here's the way I frame it. You know, in the military, they call it intelligence, or they call it reconnaissance, right? Recon. You know, what's the enemy up to? And you need to understand that in order to know how you're going to confront the enemy, okay, or put down the enemy. And so that's what we want to do, I think, in this first segment, is really take a stark and honest look at what Satan has been up to, particularly, I think, in the last 10 years. I think there's been just this surge going on, is, you know, 10, 15, whatever you want to call it. But you know, Satan seems to be running unabated. You know, we just heard about this this black mass in Houston. You know, you've been looking at that. You want to tell us a little bit about that, Doug, that black mass that went on in Houston?
Yeah, absolutely. This was on Saturday. It took place 11 p.m. Central Time in Houston. And there was a fair amount of material went out. I know a friend of mine, Joe McClain, down at Guadalupe Radio in Houston, was doing a lot. He was actually boots on the ground with a group of people. They were praying outside across the street from this place, the Brash Brewery. And the Brash Brewery are the people that actually sponsored this, working with the Satanic Temple of Houston. Okay. Now, this is something people just got to understand, that there are organizations out there actually, the Satanic Temple of Houston, and they are adamant about doing everything they can to push atheism, Satanism, destroy Christianity. And the greatest threat, of course, to Satan is the Catholic faith,
right?
The Eucharist, the truth of the Eucharist, the reality of God, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Eucharist. So the Black Mass was an attempt to, and the whole purpose of it was to destroy, to desecrate a consecrated host, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in the Eucharist, and do this in this ritual. Now, their actual statement on the brewery's Facebook page said this: join the Satanic Temple in Houston at Brash Brewing Company as we co-host an exciting celebration, the Black Mass's early bottle release and the Satanic Temple's first public ritual. They go on. I'm not going to read the whole thing. They don't deserve that kind of attention. I will go on to basically say that by the end of this, they say this was in part an effort to raise toys, dog food, bedding, cat litter, and other supplies for animal shelters of some sort, some ridiculous thing like this. Okay, this is all part of this problem they're doing. Okay, and so join us for good beer, great company, excellent blasphemy, and to learn about the support we bring to our communities. Now, what a twisted way of looking at it. Yeah. All right. Did they add that little support for our communities in there as if they're doing something wholesome and kind and good?
Right.
But let's not even pay attention to that, folks, because that's all window dressing to try to dress up the evil that's going on here. So they have this ceremony, and then they put out a tweet on Twitter saying that you Catholics and your harsh language about the Blessed Mother could not stop this from happening. The host was desecrated and was thrown into the garbage, I believe they say, where it belongs. Okay. So this is what we're up against. And Father, you and I have talked about, if we go back many years, and I mean like 5, 10, 15, we see this gradual uptick in diabolical activity, not just in the U.S., but throughout the world. And now you had something.
Yeah, on. You know, I've been noticing this way back. I'll pick 2013. You know, it was 2013 when we saw there was a what was it? Hold on a second, I got up here. Give me a second. Here you go. Yeah, it was. Do you remember Miley Cyrus at the VMAs? She did this very weird dance and she stuck her tongue way out. Well, it turns out that she was invoking Kali, the goddess of death.
Yeah.
That's actually, if you remember the movie of Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, mm-hmm. Kali Ma, Kali Ma, you know, they were worshiping this goddess of death. Then we saw it was Beyonce, you know, at one of the Super Bowls. And I think everybody will remember that, but there were more than that. It was more than just the Super Bowl. You know, this satanic dance, the satanic ritual that went on. It was at award ceremonies. It was in holiday parades. You know that they were dressing up in these satanic attires and invoking goddesses and pagan gods. Who remembers back in 2015 when the Empire State Building was lit up with, and ready for it, Kali, the goddess of death, was put on the Empire State Building. I mean, they don't even care. Used to be they'd hide these symbols, right? And there was all these conspiracy theories about, well, look at the symbol and look up on the shelf in this movie over here. But, you know, not anymore. They have it in, you know, when children are watching football halftime shows and holiday parades, they put it right out in front of everybody. So this has been going on for a while. And I actually, then I found out that Jay-Z in his, he has this line of clothing. One of the things he has, it's a hoodie. And on the front, ready for this? It says, do what thou wilt. Well, that's the high commandment from the satanic Bible. You know, do what thou wilt should be the whole of the law. You know, so they're literally worshiping Satan. And you know what I've heard too, Doug, is from a lot of exorcists, is that there's a rise of Satan, satanic cults in America. There's a rise of exorcisms, the need for exorcisms in America. And a lot of this has to do with the Hollywood popularizing or even normalizing all this. And they also say this, Doug, they say that a big infiltration of this demonic uptick came from Mexico, where they were worshiping Santa Muerte, Saint of Death, and so this has just gone on and on, and it's been under our watch. And a lot of us have noticed, but a lot of people just, it's gone unnoticed all this time. And I want to tell you, I'll end with this. I want to tell you a story because I was talking with some buddies And this was back around 2014, 2015. And we were sharing about the whole idea of communion in the hand versus communion in the tongue. And one friend shared, he actually shared his childhood memory. Okay. This was when he was in high school. And he actually wrote it out for me so I could share it. But this is what's going on, Doug, in high schools. It is not uncommon. So here's a quick story. He says, when I was in junior high, I started hanging out and getting high with some of my older brother's friends. They would play around with Ouija boards and tarot cards. They would get dropped off at youth group at church, go in the front door and out the back door for sex, drugs, and booze. They would brand each other with pentagram rings and even sacrifice animals. I never participated in it because I was the little brother, but they would talk about the black mass all the time. There was an older guy, our dealer, in his late 20s, who claimed to be a wizard and showed us his picks, which he didn't know what that meant at the time, but that's what you carry the host in to homebound. That he would use because the priest at the church he went to wouldn't pay much attention. Well, they have a pix, they must be legit. And he even said he would find hosts after most masses on the floor or sometimes between hymnal pages like bookmarks. I remember that when he opened it to us, he told us it was Jesus and that we are going to have a party with him. Well, I chickened out and went back to youth group. A couple of nights later, our friend, after the quote-unquote Jesus party with the wizard, decapitated his sleeping aunt with a samurai sword because he heard voices telling him to. She was a regular mass-attending woman, the only one left in the family. He's locked up in a mental institution for life. When I started learning about Catholicism, I'll always remember that awful time and can't shake the feeling that my friend opened himself up to the demonic by participating in the black mass that night. There were no drugs in his system when they arrested him that night.
Wow.
That's what's going on, Doug. And it's not uncommon.
Well, and you know, it's not uncommon. And you know, Father, people would look at that story as really disturbing, grotesque, and disordered as that is, and say, well, that's an extreme. Clearly, right. he had mental health problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we have Father Ripperger on, maybe, you know, the first of the year, we can address some of this with him. But, you know, I've heard exorcists speak of that. Mental health issues oftentimes can be related to diabolical activity.
Yes.
Because it can disorder our minds, clearly, right. Without a doubt. Right. But, and these things are not so isolated. You know, even here's another story of even in Switzerland back in 2016, they opened up, Switzerland opened up a new tunnel, the longest rail tunnel.
Yeah.
And the Gothard tunnel. And they opened this up with a 600 person dance, acrobats, dramatic, display of entertainment for all the big wigs and the highfalutin people who were invited to come, all the representatives of nations in Europe and so forth. Chancellor Angela Merkel was there, President Francois Hollande of France, Italian Prime Minister Matteo, and so forth. Glitzy celebration, musical bands and dancers, and an enormous amount of diabolical overtones and in-your-face overtones. One in particular, a goat man, a man dancing around in a satanic-type image with goat head on, dancers flailing all around. They said this was so weird and bizarre, had so many diabolical aspects to it, and it was publicized and barely a peep, if anything, from anyone about it. So whether it's something on the scale of that, something on what Miley Cyrus does, or the Empire State Building being lit up with the image of Satan, or what Beyonce and Jay-Z do, or even what we're seeing with the statue of Moloch, you know, that's just recently been erected out in front of the Colosseum.
The Colosseum.
Yes. I mean, the dedicated place, if you were, or a memorial of dedication to our Christian martyrs.
Right.
Of all places, the Colosseum is recognized as that one place. And this giant bronze image of Moloch is out in front of it now. Moloch, of course, recognizes is a diabolical god, a false god of child sacrifice.
Right.
Twisted. But Father, you and I have talked already last week even about the Archway of Bale, and Bale was in London.
Yeah,
and
you
New
know,
York, and
yeah,
and,
yep, you know, New York. Yeah. You know who is raising the red flag for that? And a lot of people in the evangelical world will know Jonathan Kahn is his name. And look him up on YouTube because he's pretty fascinating. And he ties a lot of what happened in the Old Testament and what's happening today. And it's really very interesting. But he pinpointed, he was actually out in New York when they planted the Arch of Baal out in front of one of the, I think it was the UN. It was right near there. But what it is, Doug, is and that's what the statue of Moloch and with all this stuff is, they're literally claiming territory. It's like planting a flag, you know, and claiming a territory. And so they were basically out in front of the UN claiming this for Baal, you know, for and now here's what happened, Doug. You and I had been preparing to get together with everybody for the National Rosary Rally in 2018. And what was going on at the time? This is when this whole thing with the Kavanaugh hearings blew up, right?
Yep. Brett Kavanaugh,
that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we come to find out that just as the Kavanaugh, Christine Blasey Ford testimonies were beginning in Congress, they planted the Arch of Baal on the National Capitol grounds on the exact same day. It was September 26th. And they were there until September 29th. Well, you know what that is. That's the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel. At the time, we didn't know that. But you know what we did? We called for a chaplet of St. Michael to start on the Feast of St. Michael and go to the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And it was that day that they removed the Arch of Baal from the National Grounds. But you and I, Doug, were then heading to those same grounds.
Yeah.
For the National Rosary Rally, and we could have ended up anywhere where they wanted to put us. Okay, but I was out there and I'm praying as we're going. I hope we get the exact same spot that this Arch of Baal was, because you know what, Doug, we had an exorcist with us.
Yeah.
And again, this was all just providential.
Well,
we had an exorcist,
and you came locked and loaded with several hundred little bottles.
Yeah.
Of blessed exorcist salt and exorcist water.
And again, we had that plan long before any of this transpired, you know.
Yeah.
And I had enough for everyone who came. It was 300-400 people to have their own Epiphany holy water and exercise and blessed salt. And I even gave them green scapulars that were touched to the relic of the True Cross. But while we were out there, this exorcist did a private exorcism the whole place. Okay. And we prayed the rosary there at the National Rosary Rally. And then we had all these people go out around the grounds. And I said, be careful. The security might not be happy that you're putting white powder around the national grounds. And they ended up, they had some security come to them. And the security loved what they were doing and did selfies with them, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that happened. Well, Doug, I knew that I had to go a couple days earlier. The Faith and Freedom Foundation wanted to give me an award, which was great. And I went to the award ceremony in Pennsylvania. And when I got there, guess who else was getting an award from them? Jonathan Kahn. I didn't even know that. So I'm able to, I was going, you kidding? Jonathan Kahn's here? He's the guy that's been blowing the whistle on this, raising the red flags and all this. And I was able to walk up to him and tell him, we got you covered. We just had an exorcism and we had 300 people go around the national grounds and reclaim surrendered ground back to God. But Doug, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
The rise of the demonic in our times and the ways in which it's trying to claim ground. You know, look how demonic those Kavanaugh hearings were. We were in shock, weren't we? And then to understand that they had planted the Arch of Baal just as those hearings were started. But then, you know, here's the last thing I'll say about that. We were driving out for the October 7th rally, and I was driving out on October 6th, and I'm listening to the radio. And at 3 p.m. on October 6th, not 3:01, not 2:59, Vice President Pence swears in Kavanaugh, okay? Mm. Now, that was exactly to the minute, 24 hours before we were about to pray at the National Rosary Rally. I mean, come on, there is a God.
Yeah, there is. Well, in these signs, these things that we're seeing happen, this rise of the demonic and throughout the world, you know, there's the big dramatic look, like the Gothard Tunnel I just mentioned in Switzerland, or Arch of Baal, or, you know, the statue of Moloch, or the Baphomet statue that was in Oklahoma City, and then they took it to Detroit, and then, you know, they had a grand opening ceremony, and people were paying $75 to have their picture taken while they're sitting on the lap of this demonic statue. These things are big and dramatic, and they're bad, they're wrong, they're invitations to the evil, you know, bring it into our lives. But we can't forget that the rise of the demonic also works in other ways, such as you mentioned, Ouija boards. I was walking through an airport in Dallas a few days back to fly out to California. And in the security line, there's a couple of teenage, I'd say college age girls in front of me. And one of them has a backpack on, and the entire image on the backpack is that of the Ouija board. Uh-huh. So now they're wearing it. I mean, and these types of things are very common for a lot of young people, and older people in general, priests, you know, anybody who's younger, who knows this is wrong, anybody who knows it's wrong.
Yeah.
We've got to speak out. We've got to speak out and do more. Now, here's what I think. Anybody listening who's in any way connected to a Catholic high school, you better be having conversations with your students in your school about these types of things. Tarot cards, Ouija boards, palm reading, horoscopes.
All the exorcists say that opens a door to demonic influence. Yeah.
I mean, Harry Potter stuff was a big thing. I mean, Father Gabriel Amorth, chief exorcist of Rome for years, was saying the Harry Potter books should not be read.
Right.
Because it can become, as Jesse Romero refers to, a point of entry. All right. Very clearly open a gateway here. Then you had the vampire Twilight series. Ridiculous. I mean, the undead romance. This is crazy. And it's all geared towards middle school and high school kids. So the rise of the demonic in the United States and the world as a whole is very, very obvious. But also the apathy and complacency of the so-called faithful is also very apparent and very obvious.
Absolutely.
We've got to kick ourselves in the you-know-what backside and get moving, because,
you know, I've been saying, Doug, that if you can say what's good about any of this, it's that it is kicking us in the behind, and it is getting, I've been saying we got to get out of that mode of just shopping and golfing and get down on our knees and do prayer and penance. And you're seeing a huge rise of this. Yeah, I want to give a quote here that I just thought of from Fulton Sheen. He says, why is it that so few realize the seriousness of our present crisis? Partly because men do not want to believe their own times are wicked, partly because it involves too much self-accusation, and principally because they have no standards outside of themselves by which to measure their times. Only those who live by faith really know what is happening in the world. The great masses without faith are unconscious of the destructive processes going on. Doug, we need faith, and we need people to be awake, and we need an alert, and we need to confront this. Okay, so I think it's a good time for us to take a little break here, and we'll be right back, because what we're going to do in the next segment is we're going to talk about what is the devil's end game here? What does he really want, okay, with all of his demonic influence? And we'll be right back.
Life is hard, yes, but we need to realize that God has given us tools to aid us in our lives. The greatest gifts God has given us are the sacraments, the parts of himself which he shares with the world. Are we using them as often as we should? Are we using these great weapons God has given us to combat the evil which is all around us? It's on us. We have to make the choice. Nobody can force us. We either make our faith our own or we lose it. And what a pity to lose it after Jesus himself died so that you may use it.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Father Heilman. I'm Doug Barry. We are the U.S. Grace Force podcast host for you here tonight. We have been discussing our first segment, Rise of the Demonic in Our World. Wow. Just not the type of topic you really want to talk about, but, you know, felt like we needed to, especially with so much evidence mounting, proving just all the mess that's happening in this world right now regarding, you know, demonic activity. Now, that being said, we want to get into the battle of the two kingdoms. We just celebrated a few days ago, from the time this is released on Wednesday, the Feast of Christ the King, you know, our Lord. And so, you know, Father, you had a great homily. I watched your homily, which, by the way, I'm going to ask, put a link in it to the at the bottom of this of the YouTube picture here or our video here. We can put it in the other information, right? Okay. Talking to my son back here who does a lot of our editing and work on this. A link to your homily. Could we do that? Put your video up. Are you okay with that, Father?
Oh yeah.
Okay, perfect. Because you had a great homily.
I didn't know you were talking to me. I thought you were talking to Dominic still.
Yeah, he nodded his head. So if you're good with that, I'm going to have him add that link because you gave just a killer homily on the fact that we're dealing with two kingdoms, this battle of two kingdoms. You know, break that down a bit, Father, what you meant by that.
Well, I think I started out by saying that I had been asked to teach some high school kids, amazing high school kids, but I was asked in the bottom of the ninth inning, you know, so I had to come in with, you know, they said, Father, whatever you want them to hear, you know, and so, okay. So this is what was on my mind, you know, with the Feast of Christ the King coming up. I think that I taught them on Wednesday. No, it was Friday. And then we were going to celebrate on. So I was, this is already cooking in my brain. And I told them, I leaned forward and I was talking with these kids and I said, listen, here's what it is. You boil it all down. Here's what it is. There's two kingdoms, okay? Now, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of Christ. Okay, Christ is the king over here in a second, I told him. But I'm going to tell you right now about this kingdom over here. What is this? This is a kingdom that wants you to be nothing more than an animal, okay? And I remember, Doug, you mentioned that that promotion for the Black Mass in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, come and celebrate the beast in you, right? I think it was something to that effect.
The beast,
and
yeah, I went, celebrate the beast within.
The beast within, that's it. So I told him, I said, that to them, this is what freedom is. And then you can look at the Satanic Bible. The high commandment is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole law. Now, I was teaching them in our narthex at church, and behind us was the bath restrooms. And I said, listen, three of you girls could get up and go to that bathroom and I could follow you in and just claim I'm a girl, you know, in that moment. That's where we're at right now. I said, see, this is what the animal kingdom does. You know, they're hanging out in the meadow, they're out in the forest, and they just decide if it feels good, do it. All right. If it feels good, do it. And that's what animals do. Okay, that's what the end game is, all right? To reduce us to nothing more than Homo sapiens, to just another animal species, okay? In other words, what, Doug? We're disconnected from the divine life. We're just this, is what the devil says. Well, you know what Christ says? He says, you are my children, okay? And I am going to give you a power, a real supernatural power, the power of grace. And that power, okay, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible, that power is going to elevate your game. In other words, through the power of Christ, as the people of his kingdom, as the children of God, we are called to strive to be the best possible version of ourselves we can possibly be. You know, and what is that? That's values, that's principles, that's virtues, that's morality. You know what it is, Doug? It's dignity.
Yeah.
To live in all dignity. Okay. And I remember, Father, I alluded to in my homily that I had listened to Father Z's homily, where he was from Matthew chapter 24. Because he was celebrating the Latin Mass, but it talked about the abomination of desolation in there, or the abomination that causes the desolation. Well, what is the abomination? It's worshiping another god. It's worshiping an idol, okay? That's the abomination unto God. And the idol, Doug, can be ourselves, and oftentimes that's what it is, that we make ourselves our own gods, okay? And so when we're disconnected from the divine life, we claim ourselves as our own God. And so, but what's that lead to then? That desolation basically means despair, hopelessness, emptiness, meaninglessness, okay? And that's where a person ends up being, and that's where the devil wants us. He wants us low and down and depressed and full of despair. God wants us to rise to new heights, to find the dignity of living as a child of God and with all meaning and purpose, and to strive to make this world a better place, and to be a light and love to the world around us. And so this is what I was saying to the kids. Which kingdom do you want to be a part of? I said. Yeah.
Well, when you mentioned the part about meaning and purpose, I mean, that sums up a lot right there. One of my sons is telling me, you know, he works a part-time job as a waiter at a restaurant. And he was describing some of this scenario to my wife of what it was like there working with some of the people there. And, you know, he's not being critical of them as much as pointing out that there's almost a sense of, you know, there's no motivation. There's just kind of a, I'm here to make my money.
You're existing.
And I exist. And then I go off and I hang out with my friends and I have my parties. And then I come back and make some more money and have my parties. Yeah. And there's no goal, no drive, no anything. Right. To go anywhere.
I get up, I eat, I go to work, I come home, I eat, I go to bed, I get up.
Make my way through life, and that's it.
Desolation.
Yeah.
The abomination of desolation.
And you know what? I forget, maybe you remember, I forget which saint said that those who pray will save their souls, those who don't pray will lose their souls.
Right.
I think to that effect. It's a very strong statement. We're created for that dignity with God, that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We're created for this. And of course, the prince of this world, the demons, the devils, they're out there trying to say, no, that's too much work. It's too hard. Father, I'll say this. One of the things that we're getting our backsides kicked in when it comes to this battle between the two kingdoms is a lot of us in our world today have become so comfortable, so soft. We're inundated with really a sense of laziness and procrastination that is literally, I mean, on so many levels, chewing us up and spitting us out.
Right.
We put effort and time into our marriages, our relationships, raising our kids. You know, priests don't want to, I mean, you can probably speak to this obviously better than I can, that priests even struggle to take the time to pray their office like they're supposed to every day, you know, because it's difficult, and I just don't want to do it, and I'd rather sit on the couch and watch my 55 or 65 inch screen TV, and I've got a smart thermostat, and I can say, it's too hot in here, Alexa or Siri or whoever you are, turn the temperature down, you know, and not even have to get off the couch. And mentally, spiritually, it's the same thing though.
Right.
And if I don't want to grow and learn these things, these truths that you're talking about, the dignity that we have, then I'm going to evaporate and I'm just going to die off. And that is not what God wants for us. And nobody's happy living that way.
Yeah. You know, Doug, I'm watching this in so many people too, because with, you know, this indoctrination, right, to try to get us to live as animals is so severe, and it's working hard on so many people. But here's what I'm finding. When they find their purpose, when they find that they are called to be these children of God and also to be God's warriors, okay, with this supernatural power. You know who I think of, Doug? I always think of the military. To me, I'm like a fangirl when it comes to the military. You know, I just geek out because they're heroes.
Let's call
they're
heroes. A fan priest, not a fangirl.
But I just say they're heroes. They decided to set everything else aside and put their life on the line. It's not just military. It's police. It's fire. It's first responders. You know, but I'm just in awe of that. And so, what are they doing, Doug? They're deciding to set their needs, their wants, their desire to live if they run toward a hail of bullets. Okay, they're deciding to put all that last and put a higher cause first. Okay, so I want to frame it like that because I'm seeing this in so many people, Doug, who are finding a way out of that desolation by what? By discovering that they do have a purpose and they are called to be God's mighty spiritual warriors and to get in the battle and start and have us collectively to be a force to be reckoned with, to push back on the forces of evil. Okay. All of this, Doug, all of this sets our hearts pounding. You know, I think of a lot of the military, they're living this higher calling out on the battlefield. And then they come home And if they're not careful, they could be what you just described, you know, the 55-inch screen and Alexa and all this stuff. And they're sitting there going, what is the meaning of life? Right. Well, you know what it is, Doug? It's getting in the battle and saying, I want to be part of the solution and not sit by and allow evil to just run unabated under my watch any longer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, anybody out there listening or watching right now, you know, we're all the same way. We always feel better when we're moving towards something that is, yeah, that is good, that is true, that is godly, essentially, yeah, you know, and there's far too many battles out there that are not being fought that need to be fought,
right?
You know, to battle for the correct kingdom, you know. And I think about, you know, the words of Saint, or not Saint, but well, most likely Sister Lucia, in one of her final interviews, when she had said that it was revealed to her by the Blessed Mother that the final battle between the kingdom of heaven and Satan would be over family and marriage. Yeah. You know, Cardinal Caffara made mention of that because she relayed that to Cardinal Caffara before he died. And he says that clear as a bell in a video I saw of him. We are in the battle now, he says. Yeah. This is a final battle between these two kingdoms.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a serious battle. It's a heavy battle. Now, you go back to 1976 when St. John Paul II, when he was still Cardinal Wojtyla, was speaking to the bishops in Philadelphia. Famous passage where he says, or famous quote, I should say, where he says, we have entered the final battle between good and evil, between the mm-hmm. church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel. He says, mm-hmm. divine providence knows of this and has called us to take this battle on with courage, all right, and to move forward in it. And so we've been told that the times we're living in, this battle between the two kingdoms you speak of, is upon us, and we are called to engage in it.
Yeah.
And it starts with being a man or a woman, young or old, of prayer, faith, scripture, sacraments, because you got to gear up and train up for it if you're going to get in the fight. But this is very real, two kingdoms. You know, your whole point there too, Father, about the fact that, you know, Anton LaVey, who wrote the Satanic Bible, states that first and high command, do what thou wilt.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. And that is to a larger degree, that's a moral relativism approach as well, right? Your truth, my truth, right?
Absolutely.
If you want, I'll believe what I want, and all's good. Even if our truths oppose each other,
right,
we're still going to believe this. That's insane.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, and I'm going to speak to the military right now, and I know this more from movies and television shows than actually going to the military, but I know they can back me up on this, is this do what thou wilt, do whatever you want. That's trained out of you in the first few days, you know, of your military training.
Yes.
So that you know how to obey orders, okay?
Right.
You know how to obey orders. This do whatever you want, it feels good. You know, I've seen funny movies or TV shows where, you know, the new recruit comes on and the drill sergeant asks him to do something. He's like, I don't have to do that because I want, you know, and then the drill sergeant just gets it in his face, you know. But the point is, Doug, is that this is key. And I told those high school kids too last week. I said, this was the kill punch for us in our modern times. And here it is. It was denying disobeying orders when it came to Humanae Vitae.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you had the church teaching one way, and you had a pope come out with an encyclical, and he says, this is absolutely what the church teaches. And he even predicted what's going to happen if we don't follow this. And he was prophetic, Pope Paul VI. You know, we're going to have a high divorce rate. We're going to have people living outside of marriage. We're going to have this or going to have that. And it was all, it all ended up happening. But here's the point, Doug, is that when in dioceses and parishes, they were telling the faithful, well, even though the church teaches this, go ahead and follow your own conscience, okay? All right. So if you're going to apply it to contraception, then why not everything else? So on Sunday morning when I just, you know, I stayed up a little bit too late last night and I'm not feeling, you know, awake enough to get ready and go to Mass, you know what? My conscience tells me that I don't have to go to Mass this morning. You know, when all the kids around you are, you know, spewing vulgarity right and left, well, you know, my conscience tell me this has become more normalized, so, you know, I can go ahead and do that myself, and so on and so forth. So you can apply that to everything, and that's what we've done. This was the kill punch for us in our times. And unless and until we get back to understanding that it is obedience, okay? That this getting in, I call it getting riding the wave of the Holy Spirit, getting in sync with God, you know, and wanting to please him in all way. Father Z put it in his homily on Sunday. He said, make your soul beautiful for God. Go to confession, okay? Please him in all way. Present to him this beautiful soul. Okay, I thought that was a powerful way of putting it, but that's what we're called to do, and not to make ourselves our own God, the abomination of desolation. Once you make yourself your own God, once your conscience trumps God's will, okay, then you end up in this depressed, sad, desolate, despairing place. Get on the joy train, okay, of being in love and in sync and bringing God's light and his love to the world. And I think that's a great place to end it, Doug. And we're going to come back with our final segment. And everyone hang on. This is going to be an amazing segment that we're going to do shortly. So we'll be right back.
Take a step back sometimes. Life is full of the anxious, the bitter, and the excitement. Sometimes it's healthy to step back and breathe. Take a moment to realize all that God has blessed you with. Take a moment to see there's a world around you, a beautiful creation which God wants us to enjoy. Life is a gift. Don't waste it.
Welcome back, everyone. So this is our final segment, and this is a great one. You might not understand this, but the Pope is calling for shock troops. Can you believe that? And of course...
Define the shock troop thing, Father. I mean,
when
you're ready.
Yeah. But who we're talking about here is Pope Pius X. And I've actually used this term quite a bit because I think it's amazing. And in fact, I think it's part of my homily that I gave this weekend. I said there's a great need right now for shock troops in our time. And it was Pope Pius X who I had it up here and I took it back down and I'm clicking to find it. But actually, what he did, Doug, is he actually called his cardinals in, and they had a conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, the cardinals, he said, "What do we need here it is. It was Saint John Baptiste Chatard recounts in his book, The Soul of the Apostolate. Pope Saint Pius X was conversing with a group of his cardinals one day, and the Pope asked them, "What is the thing we need most today to save society and build Catholic schools?" said one. "No." "More churches," said another. "Still no." "Speed up recruiting of priests," said a third. No, said the Pope. "The most necessary thing of all at this time is for every parish to possess a group of laymen who will be at the same time virtuous, enlightened, resolute, and truly apostolic." And it says, Chatard further explains it, further details that enable us to assert that this holy pope at the end of his life saw no hope for the salvation of the world unless the clergy could use their zeal to form faithful Christians full of apostolic ardor, preaching by word and example, but especially example. In the diocese where he served before being elevated to the papacy, he attached less importance to the count of parishioners, the amount of parishioners, than to the list of Christians capable of radiating an apostolate. It was his opinion that shock troops could be formed in any environment. So what are shock troops? It's actually a military term, and it refers to infantry formations along with supporting units created a lead attack. Okay, and you think of that when you think of the D-Day invasion in Normandy on June 6, 1944. So those first wave of men, okay, were in those boats, and they were coming toward that beach in Normandy, and most of them, you know, believe that there's very little chance that I'm going to come out of this alive, but they were willing to go first. You know, they were somebody needs to go first. And so I'm willing to go first. This is an uncommon valor to be the tip of the spear, the vanguard, and the warrior of saints to lead. And that's what Pope Pius X said. This will transform our world. And Doug, I absolutely 100% agree with this. You know, we've been watering down our faith for so long and tiptoeing around people. Oh, you know, they might, you know, get frightened because, you know, we appear too strong in our faith. So let you, you know, geez, like this has been the great failure of our church over the last 50, 60 years that we're giving them, you know, gruel. And we're, you know, let's hold hands and let's not talk about sensitive topics and let's not appear too devotional. And, you know, because they'll hurry away. And here's what we're finding instead, Doug. First of all, that we've had a mass exodus under this failed calculation of weakening our faith so that it's more approachable. The weaker, the better, the more approachable it will be, was the calculation. That has caused a mass exodus in our faith. What is working right now? And I call these little shoots that are sprouting all around us, is people are attracted to strength. People, when they see other people who are truly all in their faith, and they see the joy. You know, we talked about the desolation of, or the abomination of desolation. You know, they're not seeing desolate people. They're not seeing empty, meaningless. They're seeing people full of purpose, full of fire, full of love, full of joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're seeing this and they're saying, "What did you find? What did you find? I want some of that." That's what evangelization truly is. Right, Doug?
And done with again, you're talking about strength and courage here. Pius X, you know, his papacy was from 1903 to his death in 1914. So this is a man who, you know, in the early days of the last century, recognized already the direction things were headed.
Right.
He was very well known for opposing modernism. He could see modernism, and I think it was him who said that modernism is the sum of all heresies. This modernistic view, this everything starts to get watered down, everything's modern, we're enlightened.
That's what modernism is.
Yeah, we know better than 2000
make years it weak. Church. Yep.
Make it weak.
Make it weak is that moral relativism. I mean, that's just synonymous with modernism.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and make everybody weak along the way.
Right, right.
You know, and there's a great line in the movie Braveheart. You ever see Braveheart, Father? You know, there's a line in there, you know, and I was recommending there's a few.
Do you know my lineage comes from where Braveheart is, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're Scottish? Is that what
it is? We thought we were really Irish on my mom's side, but it turns out we're from Scotland. The part of Scotland that Ireland, you know, kind of immigrated toward in Scotland.
Right.
So, and that's where Braveheart's from. So.
Right, right. Well, when William Wallace in the scene, you know, he's talking to Robert the Bruce, and he's saying to him, men don't follow titles. They follow courage.
Right.
And there's something about that
exactly.
really is, speaks so much to the heart of even the great saints, the great leaders, the Knights of Malta, the Battle of Lepanto, St. Pius V, to the original apostles, to Christ himself, the courage to take on evil and not compromise.
You know, Doug, we've been asked to pray for the church and for the world coming up on December 6th.
Yes.
And that's going to be a big day, and that's going to be like a D-Day of spiritual warfare on that day.
That needs to be a worldwide effort. Anybody listening right now or watching, you've got to share this with others.
Exactly.
It's got to be taken on like a warrior.
Exactly. And I, you know what my prayer has been, and I've been doing prayer and fasting more than I can remember, but leading up to this, Doug, because I'm praying for everyone for this day. But you know who I'm principally praying for at this time? And maybe the Lord is setting this on my heart, but I'm praying for our bishops.
Yeah.
I want our bishops to accept the call to be God's shock troops, okay? And yes. I actually, in my homily, if you remember, I actually, we live streamed, so I looked up at the camera and I kind of pointed at it and I just said, "Bishops, we need you. We need you. We need you to lead. We need you to be the tip of the spear, the vanguard." You know, this covering your behind. And so I pointed at that point, Doug, to the image that we got on Christ the King Sunday, It was Jesus hanging with the two criminals on either side of him, you know. But where was his posse? Where was his band of brothers? Where were his battle buddies? You know, where were the apostles, the first bishops? Yeah. You know what they were doing? They were covering their behind.
Yeah, they were not battle ready, that's for sure.
They were covering their behind, and they let him die, okay? Bishops, your church is dying, okay? 70% no longer believe that's God on the altar, okay? We need shock troops.
Well, and only 20% approximately in America are even going to Mass faithfully.
Right.
It's less than 5% in Europe. Right.
They're closing churches everywhere. Yeah. The experiment of promoting weakness, okay, of creating safe spaces has been an abysmal failure, okay?
And you know, Father, and I'll say this too, and this is going to really upset some people, I'm sure. In fact, it's amazing how when I have a video out on the recent message from the alleged new message from Sister Agnes. It's on my own personal YouTube channel. And it's got, you know, a great number of views, thank God. But it's amazing to watch. It's actually the video, forgive me, I'm talking about the urgent call for exorcists, right? And we put it out November 16th here. And response has been great on it. But the comment section of non-Catholics, they're telling me you've got idols surrounding you in your room. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is my idol. I got a picture of Captain America here. You would just say this is a picture of Captain America, right? It must not be an idol. Picture of the Blessed Mother, or a picture. I got a picture of the Sea of Galilee here, picture of the Passion over here. The point I'm getting at is a lot of God bless our separated brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, but there's a lot of, in the name of ecumenism, we've watered down much in the faith. And look, I got a lot of friends who are not Catholic, okay, but I also will not water down what I believe.
Exactly.
And I will stand my ground. Please, Lord, give me the strength to, in the face of situations, to the point where half my family doesn't want to talk to me anymore. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't want to spend time with us when we talk about the faith. Do it lovingly. Do it charitably. They still don't want to be around because the truth is the truth. And Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Right. And if we're not on the side of Christ, we're going to feel that sword because the sword of division.
You will be hated because of me.
That's it.
That's it.
Due to being faithful to Christ, we are going to suffer these things.
Yeah.
Watering it down to get along has not worked. That's why we're at 20% of Catholics in America going to Mass. Yeah. And like you pointed out, 70% don't even believe in the Eucharist.
No. I mean,
Father, confession lines. Can we talk about that for a moment? You know, I mean, you, amazing, you know, not to blow sunshine at you here, Father, but your confessional in your rectory. I've been there. I've seen it. It's amazing. Come into the little lobby area of your rectory, and there's a couple of three doors there, and here's your office door on the side, and you've cut a confessional window out to hear people's confessions at any time you're there. That is rare. Many places around this country I travel to and outside the country, when I travel internationally, finding confessions more than 30 minutes on Saturday or by appointment only, it's insane.
So, do we believe in the supernatural power of God or not?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't we have 70% checking out on whether that's God or not on the altar?
Right.
Do we believe in the supernatural power of God or not? You know, unless and until we help people to understand what grace is all about and help them then to want nothing more than to be in a state of grace and to use the power of that grace to transform this world, we shouldn't even begin to talk about evangelization. Yeah. I got to tell you real quick, I had two Jehovah's Witnesses show up at my door today, and I had my T-shirt on. They didn't know I was a priest. So I listened to their spiel, and I said, God, love you. I love your zeal. And then I told him I was a priest. And then I showed him the 24/7 confessional. And I explained, I said, you know, people just love, and they have this sense of peace, and they're confident that they were officially forgiven. And they were like, what? And then right there, Doug, was the staff. And somebody had given this to me after the strip club went down across the street. And I picked it up. I said, yeah, somebody gave it. There was a strip club across the street, and we prayed night and day for that. And there was a strip club across the street, they said. And I said, yeah. And I said, and I went up on this mountain behind me, Blue Mountain State Park, and I took a branch and I held it up like Moses did, you know, that scripture passage with the Amalekites. And I said, you know, and I was moved to do that. And I was there every morning before sunrise from April till October. I missed only 4 days. And I was up on that lookout tower, 64 steps up on top of Blue Mounds. And I prayed over this land and as Moses did with his staff. And I said, you know what? In 7 months, the strip club was gone. Okay. And their eyes were like saucers, Doug. Their eyes were like saucers.
That is so cool.
Yeah. But what was I trying to say? First of all, I'm not going to attack you because you don't have the same denomination.
Right.
What I'm going to say is we're all trying to get people to Christ. Okay. But listen, isn't it great? And this is what I said to them. Isn't it great that we believe in the power of prayer? Doug, until we get there, okay, until we get to that place, we're just trimming around the edges, you know.
Well, you know, that's a great point, Father. I mean, we have to believe in this. I have to believe in my faith. And if we put everything on the table, we really believe it. Let's put it on the table and let's find the truth. Then let's not sidestep and compromise out of being so-called political correct or nice. Let's put it on the table, discuss it, just like you did with them.
Yeah.
You didn't compromise just to get along with them at the door. You taught. Right. You showed them and told them about the power of the priesthood, yourself as a priest, and the power of God's grace working through that moment. And you did it with enthusiasm, not with condemnation. And that's exactly what we need to be doing more. Back to the prayer point, though, I like to use the term that prayer to the soul is like water to the body. The body's made up of 75% moisture, water. If you dehydrate, you can eventually die, obviously, but it will cause so much chaos and mayhem in your system by not having the right fluids. One of the very first things that happens when someone goes to the hospital, if they're sick, is they'll get an IV. That's a lot of the times. If they're in any way showing signs of dehydration or they need fluids, they get an IV right into the veins. That fluid needs to go. The right electrolytes and everything with it.
Yep.
Prayer to the soul is like water to the body. Without it, we dehydrate and we die. And a lot of chaos along the way can happen while the soul is going through all of the consequences of not being hydrated enough with prayer. Again, back to that point earlier, those who pray will save their souls. Those who don't pray will lose their souls. Right. I forget which saint said that, but it's a powerful truth that intimate connection with God in prayer is absolutely primary to have the strength and the courage even. But don't you think, Father, that we also have to cooperate with the grace in a way that even if we're praying, we still have to logically and rationally look at what's happening and realize, based on human nature, based on, you know, what our leadership role is, that I'm praying, but I still have to act upon that and be courageous enough to stand my ground and speak the truth. Otherwise, I can pray all I want, but if I don't respond to that, people are still going to drift away.
Yeah. You know, prayer opens us up, and so that we can receive more, okay?
Right.
We receive more power, but we receive a greater light, a lucidity, right? An understanding. We tune in better to God, and so we can see more clearly what He's calling us to do. Okay. And I don't know about you, and I do know you're like this too, but when you pray, it's like during that time you get your marching orders or you get inspired, don't you? You get inspired. Oh, yeah. The word inspired itself means in spirit. You know, the spirit gets in. Okay. And you're inspired. And then this comes and that comes. Sometimes I'm like, slow down, God. I'll write this down. You know, slow down. Yeah. But that's it, Doug, is that it's all about getting in tune or in touch or getting well connected to God through prayer. If we're not doing that, then we're off doing our own thing. It's like Martha while Mary was at the feet of Jesus, is locked into him. Mary chose the better portion, you know, the unum necessarium, the one necessary thing, you know, and that is that we lock in. She was zeroed in his eyes. She hung on his every word. She was locked in while Martha had the Son of God in her living room, and she was just busy doing her chores, you know, whatever, the Son of God's here. So, and you're anxious and upset about so many things, Martha, because why? You're not locked in. You're not locked in. So, Doug, this is the message. We can't apologize for our faith any longer. We can't water it down. We've got to love, you know, these Jehovah's Witnesses came. I couldn't wait to tell them about confession, you know. but you know, the other theory or the other method was, you know, we don't want to talk about confession with you because you don't understand that yet, and blah 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 blah. No, let people see that you love your faith, that you love God, that you love all the treasures and baubles of your faith. Yeah. Be strong in your conviction that this is awesome. So bishops, please, I love you dearly. You're amazing. But please, you know, let's not disperse when your church is being crucified. Let's together, we'll be your posse. We'll be in there with you. Let's be God's shock troops. Amen, brother.
Amen. I like it.
All right. Father. All right. Let's close there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, Father. See you again.